Start your day the third way, Rabbi Ari Tumin.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for another opportunity to share some Divrei Torah. I recently came across an article where I read that in Prague, after the wars under communist regime till 1989, and during the late 1980s, there was a gentleman noticed, as anyone who's been to Prague knows, that aside from being a very interesting city, the streets are actually, a lot of the main streets even, are cobbled. They're not paved with paving stones. They're not tarmacked. The roads itself, the car drives on, are like cobblestones, like sort of a block paving type of stone. And the gentleman saw that the communists were cutting up gravestones, Yiddish gravestones, cutting up into squares and using them as to cobble the roads. And I emailed somebody in Prague, and it's unbelievable, but it's true, and they know where the streets are. You can even see there's like the granite in the amongst the stone is like darker patches. And obviously the polished side is face down, so you can't see the writing on them, but there is writing there. There's Jewish letters, you can't know what's what. And when I first came across this article, so my first thought was that this might present a problem for a Kohanim to walk there. My second thought was it might present a problem for anyone who even though not a Kohen. And my third thought was that this might be a good topic to talk about and start the day. So if you go backwards, I'll start talking about it on Torah Way. I explained to you what was my first thought. Why did I think that this might present a problem for Kohanim to walk in the streets of Prague on these roads where we know that they're paved with Jewish Yiddish Matzeva stones? Now, it was common in Poland as well, I think, in places in Poland used to do it, but I don't think it was in the same style. I think it was used to the slabs. And a lot of places, they actually uprooted them and put them back in the basic chorus. But these ones, because communism was there till 1989, it was so contemporary, they're still there, and the question is as follows. Shulchan Aruch brings down, there's an Issa for Kohen, even with Manazer, for Kohen to be Tamil Mason. That we all know, that Kohen is not allowed to be Tamil Mason. Now, Shulchan Aruch says it's not limited to a mace itself. There are other tumas which have the same severity as a mace and a kohen item tamil. So that's a kohen. So if you take out a yerudeh, it's actually printed in Hilchos Avedos, the doors of a Hilchos Kohanim. There's no separate Hilchos Kohanim. In the middle of Hilchos Avedos, there's a simon al eze tumas ha kohen muzah. Simon shi and samach tes, which tumas are a problem for a kohen. So the opening line, ha kohen muzah shalei tamil mace. He's not allowed to touch any mace. And not any of those tumas which are poyush, which come from the mace. A kohen is not allowed to be metame to a goyel or a doifik. What's a goyel or a doifik? Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell you it. Look at the Taz on the side. Goyel, the Taz translates, is an even stone, which is placed on top of a keve, letziun, as a marking. And you support that stone. So the stone which is placed there as a marking, we're going to come to it soon, but this translation of Goyel V'Doifek is not universal. It's a Mishnah in Arlos that Goyel V'Doifek is a problem. What's the translation of Goyel? Goyel V'Doifek is Metami. That's clear. A person touches a Goyel, they become Tommy. Is it Kohen Muza? Shulchan Aruch says yes. What is a Goyel? Says the Taz. A stone that you put on as a marking. I saw in a contemporary sefer, he wants to suggest, that very often in a kever, before they actually do a matzeva setting, they have a marker, just a name place, a marker. It says, that will be a goyel. Because anything which is used as a marking, even if it's temporary, they'll get another goyel. And a kohen is muzah on that. Okay. So where's there room for discussion here? So first of all, the first point is that the translation of Goyel, as I mentioned, is it happens to be a Machlokes Rishonim. So we know that a Goyel is Metami. We know that Shulchan Aruch Paskens, that Tumah is a problem for a Kohen. But what is the Goyel? It's Machlokes Rishonim. Other Rishonim learn that the Goyel and the Doifek, those are parts of the Oren itself. part of the coffin, the sides at the top, actually yistam ha-goydol. Until you close the coffin, that's when the Aveda starts. But the Tal seems to say not like that. So, but there is a room for discussion that how do you know the Shulchan Aruch, who says that a Kohen is not allowed to touch a goydol, what goydol is he talking about? That's one point. Another point is the Ramah. The Ramah continues, and there is a concept in Tumas Meis, in Arlus, it comes up in Shas several times, of Cherev Harehu Kecholol. The sword is like the Cholol, like the corpse itself. And we learn that from that, not necessarily a weapon which was used to kill somebody, but any form of metal. Other Rishonim expand even more than metal, but certainly any form of metal which comes in contact, or an oil of a mace, gets a din, has the same severity as the mace himself. Yeah, what does that mean? What we talk about severity of tumah? We talk about severity of tumah, normally you're talking about hilchos tumah and tairah. That means a person has to have a pora adumo. He has to wait 7 days. Then you go to a mikveh. What do you have to do to get out of being tumah? Cherev harayu kecholol. Okay. Question also, how far we take that? So now, cherev harayu kecholol, let's talk about hilchos tumah and tairah. What about a kohen? Does a kohen have a problem? There's a famous line from Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, one of the Balei Tosfos. Says, Eze bias Tim Nuli, borrowing the Lashon HaPosuk, like Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Eze bias Tim Nuli, says Rav Chaim Kohen, which house are you going to build for me? Tell me, I can't go into any house now. Which house doesn't have an item of metal which ever came into contact with a mace or has been an oil mace? As soon as someone takes that piece of metal, wears a watch, and other times, a glass, any piece of metal, any item of metal into an oil mace, Cherev Kecholol, you bring it into the house now, I can't go into that house. How do you deal with that? So, the Ramah actually says, the minig is lahokal. We allow kohenim, we don't restrict kohenim from being in contact with a cherev harayu kecholol. Now, what's the shat? If cherev is harayu kecholol, so why should we give a leniency to a kohen? So there is a rule, there is a principle, which is questioned in the Rishonim, if it exists or not, but there are more, going with the leniency seems to hold as a principle, just put down the base, stay safe, that we see that not all halachos tumah have the same severity, even though in tumah v'tairah they may have the same severity, but when we apply them to other halachos, doesn't necessarily get brought over. So for example, a nozi is also not allowed to be tumah to a mace. If he comes in contact with a mace, he has to start his whole process again. But we know that the Mishnah in the Zeros tell us not all tumahs have that severity. They may have the same severity, the gabi tumas mace, but when we're talking about importing it into halachos nazirus, we don't. So now do we say, so if we see for Nazirus, Cherev Harayu Kecholol doesn't apply, if a Nozi touches this Cherev, he's not going to start again. So we now import there, so we see it's not across the board, so do I apply to a Kohen either or not? So the Ramah does seem to apply that, because the Ramah says the Minig is, Mekel. A Nozi is not Megaleach, a Kohen can touch it. Fine. A Gedol V'Doifik, is a Nozi Megaleach? No. Before Rosh Nozi, a Nozi is not Megaleach, a Gedol V'Doifik. So, if we apply the logic of the Ramah, then the minig should be makel, should be that we should be makel, just like we're makel by Cherev, we should be makel by Gedol V'Doifik. So, even if you're going to tell me that a Matzeva comes into the principle of Gedol V'Doifik, and therefore, according to the Mechaber, the Kohen is Musa on that, but the Ramah who says the minig is to make it by Cherev, he should allow a Kohen to be Tamei Gedol. Two problems with that. Number one, the Ramah doesn't explicitly speak that out. He's commenting on the words of the Mechaber. So why does he only talk about Cherev Kecholol, the minig is, or make it by Cherev Kecholol? Why don't you say that even though the Mechaber just says Gedol V'Doifik, but we do all of that, the minig is a hakel, and we also make it by Cherev Kecholol? Okay. So can we make that implied ruling in the Ramah or not? That's number one. And number two, you might have sorted out the problem for Ashkenazim, but you won't have sorted it out for a Sfaradi Kohen. You tell me, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, suddenly rules that a Gedol V'Doifik is a problem for a Kohen. We can discuss whether the Ramah will be Mekel or not, but in the Mechaber, you don't have that room for leniency. Now, the Chochmas Odom actually discusses not this very question, but almost similar question. He's Chochmas Odom, at the back of the Sefer Chochmas Odom, he has a kuntrus called Matzevas Moshe, which he wrote in Nishmas Yisan. And he discusses various questions there briefly. Then in Simon Yud Aleph, or Shai Yud Aleph, he discusses, is a Kohen allowed to go to a house where you have a matzedo? A matzedo has been taken off of a grave, and it's in someone's house. Can a Kohen go into that house? Because going with a doifik is metame ba'oil. And the Mechaber Paskin is that going with a doifik is a problem for a Kohen. So his conclusion actually there is that we can be makel. There's room to be makel. Why is there room to be makel? He says there's a svek sveka. Number one, he says, maybe it's not goyal. We don't know how the Shulchan Aruch translates goyal. The Taz says this, a matzeva is a goyal. But the Rambam doesn't know like that. Okay. Number two, there's no anocha shayda. Is a goyal metame when it's not being used as a goyal, when it's not on the kever anymore? Tosfos Shita in Sukkah, at other places, holds that the goyal, the problem of goyal only exists when it's on the kever. So much so, a place asks the kasha, what's this whole halacha of goyal anyway? If the goyal is only on the kever, so you're always going to have a problem from the kever itself. Yeah. So asks kasha, tries to get out of it, but it's very clear from Tosfos that the goyal is only when it's actually on the kever. As soon as you remove that matzeva, it's not a goyal anymore.
How does it took the go away?
It's not a goyal.
But once it's on the kever, it's
took. Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, I'll discuss that in a minute.
Why do we say the same? You seem to have a halamina with a saw, with a third, with metal.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the case. It could be, it could not be, it was just makel, on the kerb.
On kerb.
It's disengaged from the column.
There we have a basis to. So there we have a basis to be makel.
Yes, so we're makel level.
Right. Al sosophic, you mean? Okay, if it's a sosophic, is a sosophic sufficient or not? Or do you actually have to have a concrete opinion to be makel? So he says, actually here it's not only one sophic, it's a double sophic. So what's known as a svek sveka. It's a sophic upon a sophic. First of all, it might not be a goyal. And even if you hold this as the translation of goyal, so then, once it's removed, it may be, it's like what you're showing him, yes? The Rashba says very clearly, Rashi in Erevin holds that a goyal, even once it's been removed, it still has its dinei tumah. Now, you're asking about the lomdus. Why should it be that once something's tummy becomes, has it become oyster? The goyal itself is a problem. You remove it, it becomes Tohu. Where's the Taira? So, no, you don't need to Tohu it. You don't need to. According to Tosfos, as soon as you remove it, it's not Tomei. So I came across a piece of Lomdus, which I'm not necessarily going to say, but the it could be the two points here that we're discussing are related. That means to say, has a Kohen got a problem touching a Goyal or a Matzeva? And is the goyal a problem only when it's on the kever? In Lomdus, they might be related. Why? Because the Lomdus is that the goyal is only a problem when it's part of a kever. Like a kever, if you make it a kever, it's not a problem anymore. So a goyal, if it's a problem of kever, yeah, you take it away, it's not kever anymore. It's part of the kever, it's matami. But when you remove it, it's not a kever anymore. If you hold that the goyal is a new tumah, a goyal becomes tomei, it's like a sheretz now, it's like a mace now, it's a goyal, so you remove it, you haven't solved anything. But if it's the whole tumah is because it's part of the kever. So now, these two things might go together. Why? Because a kohen is not allowed to touch a kever. If you tell me tumah's goyal is als kever, he can't touch it. But that will only be as long as it's on the kever. And if you hold that it's even when it's removed from the kever, that's a riot, it's something else, it's nothing to do with the kever. It's a tumah for the atzmai. So then it could be that the kohen is not Muslim on that. Who says the kohen has a problem with other types of tumah? If it's part of the kever, it's part of the mace, fine, he's got a problem. Okay. So the ma'isa, on that point, so the first point was, is there a problem for a kohen al goyal? L'chor, we have the ruling of the Chochmas Adam, who says that we can go with a svek sveka. Okay. That was our first thought dealt with. The second thought was that this may present a problem for regardless of kohen or not. Why? Incidentally, and it's not clear, we're talking this incident in Prague happens to be talking about matzeva from Jewish kvarim. Yeah? What would be if it would be a matzeva from a non-Jewish kever? Does that have a din of tumah or not? See, because when we deal with kvarim of goyim, there's a machlokes how far we extend the tumah. We try to be machmir, but they don't. Ikar adin, they don't have the same degree of tumah. Not matamei. We machmir. We try. Kind of try to be machmir. Lechatchila. But this halacha of gedol v'doifik, that is another tumah which extends to the matzeva stone, and the kohen according to the mechaber is muzer on that. That will that apply to a gedol or not? I didn't. It's not clear. Okay. Now, that was going over to a different simon. Shein samach dalet. Similar to Shulchan Aruch, also in Avelus, Issa Hano Shel Keveh V'ha Even V'ha Binyan. There's an Issa Hano of a Keveh Shel Binyan. Ka'ka Olam doesn't become Asa, but if you make a Binyan, if you build something, it becomes Issa Hano. So now, Shulchan Aruch, there are more, discussing sitting on a stone, which is on a Keveh, leaning on a stone. Yesh Oisrim, Leishev al ha'even she'noisin ha'kev le'matzevo, says the Ramah. V'yesh cholkin ma'atirin. So he brings two deyas. Is it in Issa? No. Does that extend to the even or not? Says the Taz, over there. Kos mashal, so inam nagu Issa, leishev ha'kev adkam. Kos v'agol so'shvi, the kol mashal asa tzerich ha'meis. Or the kovid ha'meis. Anything which you do for the meis. Or the kovid ha'meis, also v'hano. Or mitoich kach, also limkoy matzeva shenishbo. You're not allowed to sell broken stones from matzeva. Or the feed varov, also yishol ala matzeva. V'im kein, also lidroich al gabi akvorim, v'shun da'osu v'hano. Al kan ha'shoinoi. So he says as follows. He brings a mashal. Mashal says you're not allowed to sell broken matzeva pieces. Could be very valuable, the granite, isn't it? You know how to sell it. Im came, also I know, also the Jochal Yaquami. Ask the next question now. What's going on? So, what do we do? It brings the Rashbam. People burying when Dois Amito, Dois and Agaba Ma'oro Samu Kofis, we call Tzad, Kishnavi and Samito Lechotso, they should have hit Luch Lefisho, like copy that kind of shrinoi. Mashma, then it is, because Dois Agaba Yaquarium. So obviously this requires some sort of explanation. He says, so he starts off, brings a mashal. You're not allowed to sell the pieces, you're not allowed to walk a gabei kever. What do you mean? But the people who bury the mace, they're walking on the quarim, they can't get to the place they have to bury without walking on the quarim. So it's mashma, says the Taz, that the heter is hiluch lefi shor lo kopit, but not makbit on hiluch lefi shor. What does that mean? What's the hagdara on that? You mean, if it's also bahano, we don't find dispensations for, okay, you know what? Chomos of Pesach is also bano. Lefi shol will be muta. We'll just do something temporarily. Yeah? What's going on? So, and the Shach also, the Shach there says, brings a gloss ashri. Also limke matzeva shenishbro. Also lishona matzeva. Also lidach yivorim dos. And not kosa bashke no yeginisa. So even the Ramah brings 2 days, the Taz and the Shach. So now, we're faced with this question. You've got the streets, you've got these streets in Prague, they've been cobbled with these Matseva stones, you've got the Taz and the Shach saying they're not allowed to walk on the Matseva stones, and the Taz says, okay, Lefi Shah, Zeheta. So the Pischei Tshuva might help us a bit here. The Pischei Tshuva says as follows. He brings the Tshuva's Yad Eliyahu. Ein Chuf said, yo, Pischei Tshuva in the Sikotan base. There's 2 reasons why it's a problem to walk on Matzeva stones. Achas is a hano. V'achas, v'shom di bizoyin l'meis. 2 reasons. Is a hano. Is a hano. Bizoyin l'meis is by itself. What's the difference? What 2 reasons? How did that affect us? Nafkimina. Leilech al geber keve mishum hano leka. When you're walking on top of keve, that's not an issa hano. Why? Do you love hachi kal keve? Are you issa toiv leilech al oritz? You could easily walk on the ground just as well. Ve'ini also rak mishum kovda meis. Donu noigin boze. Okay, sorry. You mishum mitza muta leilech. So he explains now. So we've got the task. Ask for dispensation. He says yes. There's 2 problems you have to face. There's issa hano and bizon ha meis. Issa hano. Walking on top of a kever, says, well, we have to work out, is there hana here? What would it be if there wouldn't be the stones here? We could walk on the earth just as well. Perhaps even better. Bizoyin ha'meis. Okay, so you're doing the shul mitzvah on a temporary basis, there's no bizoyin ha'meis. So now, we have a pshat and a taz. It's also to walk on the keves tamazoi. Why? Two problems. It might be hano, and it might be bizoin ames. But when we do it the hilchot levisho, we make it. Why? Because hano we don't have, because when we're walking over there, we could have walked better without them. And bizoin ames, levisho, the terech mitzah, that's not a problem. So now if we bring that back to our question in Prague, so perhaps we could use that to help us. You've got the streets that are cobbled, perhaps we could use this for all the Yad Eliyahu. What would be, if they wouldn't be there, it'd be a dirt floor. Okay, I could walk on a dirt floor, so I'll hang on off it. Bizoin Hameis could be, one could argue, there's not a, no longer Bizoin Hameis, it's been removed, it's been transported, it could be, there's no Bizoin Hameis, it could be, but there's a point which I thought would catch the owner's interest. There's a bit of time left, so I'll tell you a vort that you can say over. I'll give you a nugget. And if there's time after that, I'll tell you a short story. That's at the end of this week's Pasha. Kisovoy. The end of the Pasha. Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Klal Yisrael. He's telling them about the tremendous wonders that they've seen in he's coming to the end of his lifetime, and he's recounting the wonders that they've seen during their travels in the Midbar. I've taken you 40 years through this Midbar. Your clothes had not become worn out. They carried on, continuing wearing the same clothes, and as the Medrash says, they grew with them. Nor had your shoes worn out on your feet. Yeah? So, that's the pasuk in amazing. They were in the Midbar, the clothes, their shoes. The problem with this is there's a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, similar pasuk, Parsha in pasuk Ekev says Moshe Rabbeinu again talking to Klal Yisrael, Simlascho lo yivolso me'olecho, your clothes have not become worn out, v'raglecho. Here lies the difference. In this pasuk in Ekev, it says, "Raglecha lo yivoltzeko." Your feet have not become swollen. Rashi says, people who go barefoot, well, for a long time, their feet swell up. You've been walking around in the Midbar, barefoot, and your feet haven't swollen, didn't swell. So were the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar 40 years, were they walking around barefoot, or were they walking around with shoes which never wore out? So the easiest get out is, yeah, "Raglecha lo yivoltzeko." You know why? Because you had shoes for 40 years, which were never a problem. You never need to get new shoes. So mainly you didn't walk around barefoot. Mainly your feet never swelled. It goes. Others say it depends. Are we talking about the people who came out of Mitzrayim or the people who were born in the Midbar? The people who came out of Mitzrayim had their shoes on when they left Mitzrayim. So those shoes lasted for 40 years. That was a mess. And in addition to that, the people who were born, they never got shoes. What they need shoes for, Raglecha lo yivoltzeko. Yeah? So that is, the two before, I think maybe Sissi Chachom brings an Ekev Gleitnish. But I came across Lacha Peshat from the Rogatchover, which is interesting. The Rogatchover is very briefly over here, it's a bit more lengthy in as lengthy as Rogatchover gets in Parshas Ekev, in the Tzotzos V'nei Chalat Torah. Now there he also points out there's another difference in the Psukim in which over the Pasuk in Ekev is actually talking Lashon Yochid. Simloscho lo yivoltzeko, talking about to the singular person, yeah? Simloscho, you singular, clothes have not worn out. Your clothes have not worn out. And here it says, lo yivoltzeko me'aleichem me'aleichem. So in addition to the difference of whether there was shoes or not, here it's talking about Lashon Ram, Lashon Yochid. So the Rogatchover brings a number of Gemaras, puts them together, and with that he says you've got the Pshat and the Pasuk. There's one Gemara in Moed Katan tells us that Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, since the Chet HaEgel, they were actually Menuda Loshomayim. They had a deal of, they were Benidui. They were Becherim. And they had certain halachas, the people were Becherim. Because one of the halachas of Sanu's in the Cherim, at least Sanu's in the Cherim, Loshomayim, like Klal Yisrael were, not allowed to wear shoes. There was an exception. It brings a right from a Goron Chagiga that Shevet Levi were not included. So Shevet Levi, they weren't, so they were allowed to wear shoes. Now, another Gemara, a Gemara in Horius tells us that Shevet Levi lo ikri kohol. Shevet Levi are not called a kohol, one unit. Shaila there is the maskana. That's not maskana the Gemara, but there's certain the nafkaminas there legabi kabonus that a shevet will bring. A parent of a shel tibul, can shevet Levi bring it or not? Are they considered one unit or not? Levi are not considered kohol. He says, we put all these pieces together, we now have the Pesach. He says, the Pasuk, two Pesukim, one Pasuk is talking to the rest of Klal Yisrael, and one Pasuk is talking about the Shevet Levi. So, when he talked to Klal Yisrael considered to be a Kol, one unit, talking to them in Lashon Yachid. They weren't wearing shoes. Your shoes didn't swell up. Here we're talking to Shevet Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu here is talking to Shevet Levi. Salmo Seichem. We're not going to call them Lashon Yachid because they're not a kol. Me'aleichem. V'na'alcho, and your shoes, because the Shevet Levi weren't blood, they could wear shoes. Now, why didn't it say Na'aleichem? If we're talking about Lashon Rabbim, talking about Shevet Levi, why didn't it say that? Here's another thing. He brings a Yerushalmi. He brings a Raya from Yerushalmi. That there's, you don't change your shoes on Shabbos, even though normally Shabbos is mechabed with different ksus nakir. Mechabed, one way to mechabed Shabbos is by changing your clothes from chol to Shabbos. That doesn't include shoes. Shoes is the same chol, same Shabbos as Shem Yerushalmi. So that's the remez over here. The Salmi Seichem, your clothes, the Lashon Rabbim, even though apidikduk, it's really slightly different because the Lashon Yochid, the Lashon Rabbim here we're talking about is to the person, not to the item. Yeah? So there's, are we talking about yours, Lashon Rabbim, or you're talking about your clothes or your shoes, Lashon Rabbim? We're going on over that. But I'm the remez is there to tell you that Shabbos shoes and weekday shoes are the same shoes. So, Lefi, if you put all those pieces of Gemara together, you have a reconciliation between the Pasuk at Akev and the Pasuk at Tisavoy. So, just to clarify, if you want to say over the Shabbos table, it's the end of Tisavoy, and the Pasuk is in Akev. The Shai has, were they wearing shoes, or were they not wearing shoes? There's three approaches. Either Nachanami, they always wore shoes, and the shoes lasted 40 years, and that's why you're Agla Chalei B'Sefer, because you had shoes. Or it depends on the Yetzim Mitzrayim, not Yetzim Mitzrayim, or according to the Rokachava, it depends if we're talking about Shevet Levi or the rest of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, so I'll just tell you a story in Minyan de Yoyim Ashtikol. It says that the Gemara says, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Please ask the Kasha. What do you mean, Ein Mazal Yisrael? The Gemara tells us that Boni Chayim Zayna Lav Bizchus Atayim Milsa. Ella b'mazel tali milsa. So it's a contradiction between two statements. Yisrael is other things when we talk about us as Israelim. Are we decreed by mazel or not? So one member of Chazal seems to teach us ain't mazel Yisrael. Kai Yisrael above mazel, they're not defined by it at all. And another one tells us bonim chaya mezayna, bonim children chaya life and mezayna is panasa alav. They're not dependent on a person's chusim, elo, but mazat ha'li milsam. The text asks the kasha. The text says that even though there is a certain mazel, which l'chayu, what it means is, when we talk about mazel, we're talking about the, I think Derech Hashem is mazbir that way, is that a person has a tafkid to fulfill in this world. And a person, every person has their own individual role to fulfill in this world. And a person needs tools to fulfill this world. So if your tool is to build a yeshiva, you're going to have sufficient money to be able to build that yeshiva. If your tool is to do something else, you're going to have to have things. And if forget, if you have too much money, that might distract you from your role. So every person has their own individual tafkid to fulfill. He's given the kelim that he needs to fulfill that tafkid. So lav bizchus tali milsa ela b'mazel tali milsa means that the mazel means your tafkid that you were born to. Yeah? Whatever mazel you were born to means that's the tafkid that was decreed and destined for you. Through the fee that you're going to get the boni chayim mazayim that you need to do fulfill that tafkid. But I tell you to ask that how do you reconcile two things that you must be? So, Tosafot says that af al pi kein bizchus gadol you can change it. That means yes, boni chayim mazayim la bizchusum time it's not dependent on chusum, but as chus gadol. Can, and it could be understood in terms of Ramchal, that a person sometimes can redefine what his tafkid is. He can change through the chusim gadol, he can up the level of what his tafkid is. Maybe perhaps. Okay. So, I was in America, visiting my brother, and he has a friend there. Friend's name is Arichi. Arichi, how are you doing? What didn't look so well? And from Manchester. Oh, I know somebody in Manchester. Send him regards when you come back. Fine. So I came back to Manchester. As it happens, it was the day that I came back from Manchester. I was at a chasana and I bumped into this fellow he told me to send regards to. So I said, regards from Richie. So the gentleman says to me, do you know Richie's story? I said, yeah, he's not very well. He said, no, he's not very well. Richie was almost dead. He was, his kidneys failed. He was lying in hospital. He was waiting for a kidney transplant. He was very, very low down on the list. It was not looking good at all for him. And I knew that he was very ill. I knew that he was very ill. I knew he was waiting for a kidney transplant. As it happens, I happen to be friendly. This fellow in Manchester tells me I happen to be friendly with a person who's in charge of the organization of kidney transplants. He's a friend of mine. And one time I was choosing to him, and he tells me that we've had a success today. And now officially it was anonymous, I think. But I guessed, out of the blue, I don't know why, that it might be this Richie guy. I asked him, what's his initials? Ah, so and so. And he said, how do you know? Well, fine. So I decided to give my friend Richie a call. So I called him up. He was so ill, he couldn't even speak on the phone. And he said to me, do me a favor, next time in America, come and give me a visit. I can't speak to you now. The next time, he had to stop over, he was in New York, he stopped over, called up Richie. Richie said, are you doing a bit better then? Called him up, they went out, he said, I'll come, there's a restaurant near the airport, we'll have lunch there together, and we'll have a schmooze. So they go to this restaurant, and he says to me, as soon as I walk into this restaurant with Richie, Richie's the biggest hero. And not only that, I'm a hero because I'm Richie's friend. And there's one waiter there who will just do anything for Richie. So I said to him, what's going on? What's the story? So he said, this gentleman, also a Jewish waiter, my brother knows who it is as well, and he did something, either some fraud or something, and he messed up, and he got himself into trouble, and he ended up going to prison for 4 years. During those 4 years, the whole world forgot about this guy, except for me, Richie. Every Sunday, or every, I don't know, once a month, or every week, I don't remember, he used to drive 3 hours each way, to visit this guy. 11 years later, I'm lying there in hospital, and the kidney organization in America gets a phone call from a woman. And the woman says, I would like to donate a kidney to this Richie guy. So the secretary on the phone says, I'm sorry, madam, it doesn't work like that. There's a application procedure. There's a testing procedure. We have an allocation procedure. We have a list. We have priorities. We have matches. You can't just call up and say, it doesn't work like that. You can't give a kidney over the phone to so-and-so. So she said, listen, I don't mind the testing. I don't mind the application. But I'm not interested in donating my kidney to anybody. If you want to use it, if you can use it for Richie, I don't mind. So luckily, the person at the end of the phone had enough sense to say, okay, come in for testing and we'll see. Fine. Came in for testing and see. And it was a match compatible. So it turns out that this woman is this waiter's wife, the guy that Richie used to visit every day in hospital when he was gone. Like upon him, Boni Chaim Azoyna, Lav is Chusa Tanya Milsa, Erev Mazal Tanya Milsa, of a Bishchus Godel Mishtane. Everyone should help, everyone should have, Aksir Chim Yoteva, Boni Chaim Azoyna, the best possible life. Yeah. I mean.